Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Psalm 51, verses 1 through 12. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner, when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain in me a willing spirit.
So I've been sharing on the Psalms for a few weeks, and this is our last one here, number four of four here, as I've been talking about the Psalms for a few weeks. And what I've been saying is that everything in the human experience is in the Psalms. If you read through all 150 of them, you'll find everything there. And Psalm 51 comes from a very basic human place, which all of us have been to, and that's that place where you say to yourself, I've failed. I've messed up. I've sinned. I blew it. We've all been there. I think about it as when I was an older teen, I finally got smart enough where I realized, okay, if I make a mistake, I just need to own up to it. And I figured it was just easier that way just to come clean. And I'd say, well, I'm sorry, Mom, I spilled grape juice on the furniture. I messed up. My friend and I, we were wrestling and I wasn't looking and I knocked it over and I did it. And Mom, it's probably permanently stained. I know that. I'm sorry. What can I do to make this right? There was a point where I realized that was probably the best route to take, was just to come clean. But when I was younger, I would have said, well, I don't know. You know, I don't know how that happened. Maybe my sister did it. I remember I was mad at my older sister when I was a little kid, and I was chasing her, and I had a softball, and softballs are not really properly named, are they? Because they're not really soft, and so I threw the softball at her, and in my anger and passion, I just wildly threw it, and I missed her, and I took out a window, and my mom's like, who did this? And I said, the ball did it, and so that excuse didn't work. And you know, this psalm is not making excuses, is it? It's pretty honest. It's just saying, you know what? I've done the wrong thing. I got no one else to blame but myself. That's where I am. I'm coming to you, God, knowing this is my situation. And we've all been there, haven't we? I mean, that's to be human, is to be in those places in big ways and small ways. It's just to, you know, to come to those moments where you say, you know what? I really messed up here. And, you know, one of the things about being a pastor is sometimes people come to me with a basic admission, and we the fancy word we use for it is we call it confession. And I know we don't have confessionals and all that like they have in Catholic churches, but sometimes people come to me and say, you know, Pastor, I did this and it weighs so heavy on me and I regret it so much and I wish I could go back and change it, but I can't, and I've done what I shouldn't have done, or there was something I should have done that I didn't do. Like I said, we've all been there, haven't we? I mean, to be a human being is to occasionally come to those places where we say that, and from big ways to small ways. And it could be something as simple as, I said something hurtful, I was angry, I said those nasty things to that person, and I said them only because I wanted to hurt that person, and I know that it was the wrong thing to do. It could be something as simple as that to something bigger. You know, I've broken basic trust in my life. I've stolen. I took something that didn't belong to me. I've cheated someone. I've lived outside my marriage vows. I've neglected basic responsibilities. I mean, it, like I said, you know, this is human. This is human stuff to come to that place. And even if your mistakes are not on a big, big scale, all of us can probably say the words of this psalm where we say, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment." Well, the good news is Psalm doesn't end there at that place. But we've all been there. And that place of confession, that place of admission of guilt is, you know, you got to be there for a little while, don't you, when you know you've done the wrong thing? I mean, you need to take a little time just to sit with that basic, in that basic place and say, you know, I've done the wrong thing. We've all encountered somebody in life, haven't we, that maybe did something that was hurtful and they just assume everyone will move on from it. Oh, you know, what's the big deal? Boys will be boys. You're still holding on to that. And you think, no, you need to stay in your remorse a little while before we can move on here. But you can't stay there forever, though, can you? You can't stay in that place of remorse and regret forever. And you shouldn't stay there forever. I mean, remorse is good if it gets you to change, isn't it? If you say to yourself, man, I did that, and I wish I wouldn't have done that, and I'm not going to do that in the future. That's a good place to be. But remorse 20 years later, where you've changed your life, but you're still saying, "Well, I did that, and gosh, I wish I could take it back, and I regret." If you're 20 years later, there's nothing healthy about that, is there? I mean, you eventually you've got to move out of that place, and hopefully the grief of remorse will lead you to change. There was a man in my congregation in Montana. I talk about him every now and then, Jess Singleton, and he was a real example to me, and I did his funeral. It was an honor to be the one who led his funeral, and Jess had 7 kids, he had this big family, and his own mother died when he was very young, and so he was raised by his father and his stepmother, and he often said that they were cruel. Now, he never specified, he never said what that meant, and Jess wasn't the type to hold a grudge or to exaggerate or make a big deal out of something that wasn't. That wasn't his style. And so when he said that they were cruel, I believed him. And I used my own imagination to imagine whatever that was. But he said when he was a young father with his first few kids that he started acting the same way, you know, with the same cruelty. And we often repeat the mistakes of our parents, don't we? I mean, not even realizing we're doing it, we sometimes repeat the mistakes of previous generations. And he said when he was a new father with his first few kids, he started acting in the same way, in the same type of cruelty. But there was a point, and I never asked him what it was, but a point, he said, where he realized what he was doing, and he changed. He said, "I'm not going to do this anymore. I don't want to be this type of parent. I want to be different from that." And he changed. And his family, they were an extraordinary family. They were wonderful people and just, you know, passed through the generations, his kids, grandkids, all of that. And you could see the effect of the type of man he and the type of woman his wife was because of who they were. But all of that came because he changed. With God's help, he became a different man. And hopefully all of us come to that point whenever we've done something that we regret, where we can choose to do something better. We can choose that new life. When a person who has made a life out of cutting down others with his or her words says to themselves, "You know, this is hurtful. I don't want to do this anymore." And changes. You know, that's new life. When the person who has wrecked his life neglecting basic responsibilities to family, when that person says, "You know, this is not the type of person I want to be to my family anymore," and changes and goes in a different way, that's new life. When the liar puts away the lies, when the thief gives up stealing, when the gossip learns to zip it up and put a lid on it, you know, when learning to live the ways that God calls us to live, that's when you begin to embrace new life. And the good news is, sisters and brothers, is God can help you get there. With God's help, you can find that new life. With God's help, you can change. And that's what Psalm 51 prays for. It prays for a life restored to a healthy relationship with God. It says this: you desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain in me a willing spirit. You know that old saying, you have made your bed and now you have to lie in it? Probably my mom said that to me a time or two after I'd done something. And I understand that saying, you know, that it's saying, okay, you've messed up and you're the one who's made this mess. Now you've got to live with the consequences. You know, you've heard that, haven't you? And sometimes that's true in life, isn't it? I mean, we make mistakes and then you have to deal with it. I mean, that's just, sometimes you deal with consequences. But the gospel is not you have made your bed and you have to lie in it. The gospel, the good news that we celebrate as Christians, is that we may have gone a different path from what God wants. But, and here's the but God still reaches out to us in love. And if God still reaches out to us in love, that means that we can know forgiveness. Now, we still need repentance, we still need change in our lives, but we can be forgiven. In a way, we can remake our bed. We can know forgiveness. We can be forgiven. We can know new life. We can heal from the mistakes we have made and the mistakes others have made. We don't have to carry those burdens anymore. That's the gospel. And so I say to you, sisters and brothers, if you're carrying the hurts of your own past or the hurts of someone else's past with you, I say this every now and then, but I mean it. And I mean it with all the truth in my heart. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. You see, this psalm, Psalm 51, it begins in a place of deep regret. And we've all been there. But it doesn't stay there. It's honest. And it asks for help. We all need help in those places when we need forgiveness. It asks for forgiveness. It asks for a change of heart and life from the inside out, and it asks God to do that in the psalm writer's life. That's the gospel, that we're forgiven and we know new life. And while we may have gone a wrong path, we can still be forgiven and we can still be led in the right way. So if you're in the place of this psalm today, I invite you to go home and take Psalm 51 out and pray that psalm. Make those words your own words. And let it lead you to a better place, a place of forgiveness. If you're not there today, here's the bad news. You probably will be eventually, in a small way or a big way. But when you come to that place, know there's still forgiveness for you. And there's still new life. Amen.